Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia Daf Nun Vav. We are holding on Nun Hei Amud Beis, nine lines off the bottom of the Amud. So in yesterday's Mishnah we learned that if one consumes Truma of Demai, Trumas Maser Shal Demai, he did it B'shoigeg, he must pay the actual value, right? The keren, right? He has to give back the same amount of fruit plus a chaymesh plus a fifth. And the Gemara asked, well, the whole concept of Trumas Maser of Demai is merely midrabbanan, because Demai, which is the produce purchased from Menam Aretz, whose commitment to Truma and Maser separation is questionable. So the obligation to readdress that produce and take off Truma and Maser as though it requires it is only midrabbanan, because most likely, right, most Ami Aretz do observe it and do it properly, but we do it anyways midrabbanan. So to say that we treat it like as though it was Trumas Maser min haTorah, which triggers the chaymesh repayment, the chaymesh add on as well. That's a big chiddush. The Gemara asked on that, and the Gemara responded, "Yes, actually, it's Rameir speaking, who we find elsewhere as well. This is by the get, which was handed to the isha, delivered without that proclamation of b'fanei nichtav, b'fanei nechtam. He invalidates the get despite that whole declaration being only based on a rabbinic concern. So, yeah." Chachamim make chizuk l'divrayim kishal Torah. They apply more or less the same guidelines to the rabbanans as they do the rice. Okay, so that was yesterday's daf. Now we have a kasha, because we're going to find that in a different context, in Maser Sheni, when it comes to converting Maser Sheni, we find a leniency when it's merely midrabbanan, when it comes from demai, which is that produce whose status is questionable. We give it leniencies, and we don't apply the same guidelines as we do typically. By Maser Sheni min haTorah, Masiv Rav Sheshes. Here comes a kasha. Mechalalin Oisai. And Rashi says, Oisai means Gabe Maser Sheni Shal Demai Katanila. This is a Mishnah referring to, a Braisa referring to, actually a Mishnah, referring to Maser Sheni coming from Demai. So again, it's only Midr Rabbanon. And he wants to now transfer the Kedusha, you can do that. Mechal and Oisa, you can transfer the Kedusha from Kesef al Kesef. You have a silver coin onto another silver coin. Nechoshes al Nechoshes, copper to copper. Kesef al Nechoshes, silver to copper. Nechoshes al Peiros, silver onto actual Peiros, even outside Yerushalayim. V'yachsor v'yiftes al Peiros. Divir Amir. So according to Amir, you can do all that, but provided that ultimately you went back to from the Peiros onto money, which you brought it to Yerushalayim. Rashi says, because on the way up to Yerushalayim, you have to be bringing money. Because it says, "Vitzarta hakesef yadecha." So ultimately, you have to transport money to Yerushalayim, where you're going to spend it. V'chachamim Aymrim, you don't need to do that. We're lenient, and we don't have to actually transferred back onto money. You can take the money itself up to Yerushalayim, the fruit itself up to Yerushalayim. Chachamim Aymrim, Yalu Peiros V'yochel B'Yerushalayim, bring up the fruit itself to Yerushalayim. Okay, bottom line, all agree that you can, transfer this money onto that money, to that money. No problem doing that. Even Kesef onto Nechoshes, silver coin onto a copper coin. Is that true that when it comes to chilul maser sheni, we allow this type of transfer? We find that when it comes to maser sheni deiraisa, real, maser sheni, which is not just the rabban, it's deiraisa, we have this limitation. We don't allow this type of transfer. But now we have a Mishnah. Selo shel maser sheni vishel chulin shenis arvu. A fellow had a coin of Maser Sheni, a coin of Chulin, both silver, and they got mixed up. He's not sure what's what, and he'd like to use one of them for his own personal use. So what do we do? So rather than just say, look, saying just, look, this coin here, is it Master Shani good? Otherwise, I'm transferring the Kedusha from the other coin onto this coin. You can't do that. Because that's going to be, in effect, a transfer from Kesef to Kesef, silver to silver. It's an even transfer. You can't do Chilul like that. It has to be on a different type of coin. So what do we do? Maybe Besela, he brings a Sela worth of Mo'is, of copper coins. Okay, so he brings like, 100 pennies, right? A dollar worth of pennies. Va'imer, and he declares as follows. Kol Mokim, Sheyeshno, Sela Shemaser Sheni. Wherever the, let's call the Sela a dollar, right? So wherever the Maser Sheni dollar is sitting, Michu Leles Al Mo'is Halalu, that Kedusha will now be transferred onto these coins, onto these coppers. Okay, so now he has copper coins, which are Kaddish. And he's not done yet. There's one more step. Now he goes back to the two selahs that he has, and he takes the nicest, most perfect one, which is worth more, right? And he now transfers the Kedusha from the copper onto this silver dollar, and he treats it as Master Sheni. And it's a win-win for Master Sheni, whether this was really the Master Sheni or not. End of the day, it's getting the best coin. Now, why couldn't he just do it all one step? Take one of the silver selahs and say, look, is it Master Sheni fun? Otherwise, I'm transferring the Kedusha from the other one onto this one. Why do you have to go through the copper and back to the silver? Because the Chachamim teach us, you can be Mechalal Master Sheni when there's some sort of difference. Kesef al Nechayshes, right? You can even go from silver to copper. If it's, time of necessity, right? Out of necessity. It's not something we do l'chatchila. It's, you're going to something pretty lowly. Rashi said it's a bezoyin to go to copper coins. V'oit, says Rashi, the copper, will rust or whatever, corrode, right? So typically we don't do that unless there's a special need. But even that is only temporary. Loishi is kaim kain. You're not meant to leave it that way. Ela shechayzer u'mechalon ala kesef. So you jump over to the copper temporarily and then you bring it back to the silver for the, final chilul. Bottom line is, ketani mias, what did the halacha just tell us? Mechalon midoichak. Then when it's a time of doichak, such as in this case where you got a mix-up and you're not sure what's what, then we allow this type of chilul. Midoichak in. Only if it's midoichak, shleim midoichak lei, but typically we don't do that. So why is it that when it came to the earlier Mishnah, which discussed demai, we seem to have no qualms with doing chilul from silver to silver and even silver to copper? So what does that tell us about how we treat demai? Apparently, it's a notch lower than ordinary Master Sheni. Okay, so how is that consistent with the halacha and the Mishnah? That one is obligated to pay that added chomesh fee for eating even demai material. Because here we see that demai is treated less, severely than regular Master Sheni. Amar Rav Yosef, Afal Pisha Meikel Rabbi Meir Bepidyoinai. True, we just discovered that Rabbi Meir is lenient when it comes to being Mechalel, being Poydem, Asir Sheni. We sort of relax the guidelines. But Machmer Hu Bachilasa, when it comes to anything that's consumption related, such as when a person ate the Demai material B'Shoigig, we give it the same rules and stringencies as ordinary Truma or Masa or Masa Sheni. The Sanya, as we find in a similar brayso, in a Tisefta Meseches Demai, that when it comes to Achila related concerns, we treat it the same. Lo yitiru limker demai. Typically, we don't sell a person who's a reliable person, right? He's a chaver, meaning a person who has a good name and he's established as a reliable, trustworthy person. He's not allowed to sell Tevel or even Demai, unless he addresses the Truma and Maser before he sells it. there's one exception. Who can sell demai? Elul is sitain. Sitain is a wholesaler who makes very little, you know, commission on his deals. So Chachamim allowed him to you know, avoid the extra expense of having to take off trumas or maser if what he's selling is demai due to the fact that he purchased it from Am Haaretz. And the truth is, as Rashi says, people understand that, you know, he has many suppliers and they don't really expect, right, just because he's a upstanding fellow, but his produce can be from many other suppliers. So people understand it's coming from unidentified sources and they treat it as such. So nobody can sell demai elul sitain bilvad, this fellow, ubal habayis. Now let's say we have a regular, you know, farmer or whatever, parading as a wholesaler today. He's selling out, you know, big volumes of produce. But by him it's very different. Ubal habayis benkach benkach. Whether he's selling, you know, in large quantities, in wholesale quantities, or even retail, either way, even wholesale, right, wholesale or retail, he is required to do the maser from demai before he sells it. And Rashi says the reason is because, you know, in contrast to buying from a distributor, well, you know he's getting it from many suppliers, you don't expect it to be necessarily from reliable sources. But here by a bal habayis, people, you know, their notion is that he's selling his own personal product, his own personal growth, his own personal crop. And if he's a chaver, a trustworthy fellow, they'll think that his product, likewise, is reliable, trustworthy, and kosher. So bottom line is, he has to be careful and take off master before he sells. Divir Reb Meir. So we see that Reb Meir is very concerned that people might eat demai, and they say, look, you have to address it on all ends, right? So he's lenient, he's stringent when it comes to eating related issues of demai, as we said before. When it comes to achilo, he's machmer, in contrast to the rabbanon coming up, who seem to be more lenient as well. So even when it comes to eating, they're also lenient, whether he's a distributor or a bal habayis. Meicher, if he's selling, if they're selling large quantities, there's a special you know, halacha that, like we said before, since you're making very little on the deal, Chachamim suspended the chiyuv of taking off the truma maser, so you can sell and have the buyer, address that on his own. Moicher b'shaleich l'chaver, you can sell and send it. V'nois l'matana, even give gifts. V'ene choshish, without concern for demai issues. So bottom line, Remeir, although he seems to be makel when it comes to chil maser sheni, but not when it comes to achila oriented issues, such as mistakenly eating demai, or in the case of the Mishnah, the extra choymish that you pay upon eating trumas maser of demai. Asks the Gemara, really? Masav Ravino. I have a Mishnah as follows. Halakech man anachte. If a person purchases bread from a baker, Ma'aser, and the baker is an Am Haaretz, unreliable fellow. Ma'aser menachama, let's say nenes, let's say he buys 10 loaves. And one is, you know, warmer than the other ones, indicating that it was baked, you know, today. And the other one are cool, the other ones are cooler and a little bit older. Ma'aser menachama, let's say nenes, menatenes alachama. So he's going to take off ma'aser, of course. Does he have to actually snip off a piece from each loaf? No. He can do from the chama on the tenenes, from the tenenes, and account for the chama. So you can do one master for the whole batch. Wow, here's a chiddush. Even if they're shaped differently, coming from different types of forms, which perhaps would indicate to us that the baker had sourced it from different, you know, places. Don't worry about it. It's only demai, it's a suffix. You can do this sort of package deal, truma and maser, take from one on the whole bunch. Who's speaking? Divrei Reb Meir. So now the question is like this: how can Reb Meir allow us to, resort to this type of leniency? Here it's eating related concerns. You're going to eat this, right? Assuming that it's gemeistered, right? So Bishleim Menach Atzunenes Alachama. I understand why Reb Meir would allow us to do from the older bread onto the fresher bread, because preferably we try to do the best, right, when it comes to Truma and Maaser. But when it comes to Dmai, okay, we have that, we relax things a bit. Because technically, even if it's really bad quality, it works. If a person has real tevel produce and he decides to take a little extra from the inferior quality to account for the good quality, you're not supposed to do that, but it works. Be careful, don't sin. You want to avoid chet? Take the best, the chela, the best produce. So this pasuk is teaching us that you meant to prefer the best, but in this very same pasuk, it's also teaching us that if he does not go for the best, he goes for the worst, it still works. That's why he committed a sin. Otherwise, he wouldn't be committing a sin. It wouldn't work, right? If it doesn't work, how did he sin? We learn from him. If a person does take from the inferior quality produce and uses it as truma for the better quality, he's trying to get away with worse, right? We learn from him that it works. So, back to the Dmai situation. Typically, we try to donate the best, but even if we do second best, it works. And by Dmai, we allow you to do that. The whole thing is only, out of uncertainty. That's good. But the other part of the halacha, Ela filu mitfusim harbe, we have many different shapes and forms. We can take from one onto the other. How do you know where the baker got it from? Maybe the smaller rectangular forms were from source A, who was Nama Aretz, and the rounder forms were from, more circular breads were from source B, who's not Nama Aretz. So you're dealing with different statuses. See? How can you go and just put it all in one basket? If he's going to take Truma from one on the other, maybe they're not of equal stature, of equal status. Maybe one is chiv, one is tur. He's going from the chiv to the tur, or from the tur to the chiv, which creates all kinds of complications. And here we're speaking about, permitting it la'achila. And it's Rameir speaking. And you just told me Rameir is very stringent when it comes to eating related concerns pertaining to Dmai. Amar Abai. So Abai says like this. Up until now, all the kashas, it's all substantiated. But here, this last kasha, I don't agree with. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi Lezer Shapik Kasha Le. If we go back and backpedal all the way to the beginning of the sugya, Mishnah says, a fellow eats Trumas Masa Shot, Ma Yes Tepeya Chaymish. Rabbi Lezer had a kasha, what do you mean? It's only the Rabbanu. That's a good kasha, says Abai. Okay, check on that. Ushmoel Loy Shapik Kamesha Mele. And the truth is that when Shmuel responded to Rabbi Lezer's kasha by saying, well, Chachamim, did Chizuk Ledevrayim Kishal Torah, and he proved it from the case of the get, where there as well, Rameir is very machmer. Loi shapika mechanele. It's not a proper answer. Abai disagrees with that. You know why? The kasha did the Rebbeleza misid be shemayim. Because Rebbeleza's kasha was based on the Mishnah. It was directed at the Mishnah. Where a fellow ate Truma's master of Tmai, which carries with it a misa be de shemayim penalty. Right, if it was done, purposely, b'mezit, and its question on that was, well, why when it comes to b'shegig do are we so stringent? Right, that was the starting point of this whole sugya. And Shmuel in his response, u'mishanele Shmuel responded from a case of a get misas bezdin. Look, we find even by the get, which is only the rabbanon over there, Rabbeinu's machmer. Well, the issue by a get. What are the grave consequences for non-adherence to the proper divorce procedures? If an ish goes and gets involved with somebody else, it's Mrs. Bezin's, Bezin applies a death penalty. So perhaps Dilma Shani Mrs. Bezin Chamira, perhaps something which pertains to Mrs. Bezin as an isha remarrying, it's a notch higher, it's more chomer, it's more strict than eating truma, which although carries misa, but it's misa vide shamayim, right? Again, ish is ish, remarrying, ish, getting involved is misas bezen, is bezen's misa, which you find many times through Shas, is considered more strict and more stringent, higher up on the ladder of severity than the misas misa b'dei shemayim. I guess b'dei shemayim you could do teshuva or whatever. So in any case, it's more strict, it's more chomer. So perhaps that explains why Rav Meir is very machmer by get related issues. But who says the same would apply to eating truma? Okay, that's something that Shmuel, that Abaye, critiqued in Shmuel's response. Rav Sheshes loy shaper kamoisiv lo lei. And furthermore, when Rav Sheshes asked, we started today with Rav Sheshes' kasha, right? He asked, when it comes to Maser Sheni, Rav Meir is not so machmer. Abaye disagrees with that kasha. It's unsubstantiated. It's not a proper matchup. You know why? The Ka'amri inhu misa. Because they, Shmuel, they're all speaking about misa, related issues. Umoisiv Rav Sheshes lav. But the kasha that Rav Sheshes posed was merely regarding eating Maser Sheni, if it wasn't properly redeemed. So you have an issue of a lav. So perhaps that's not on the same level as get or truma. How could you ask from one onto the other? Well, my mice are Rav Sheshes. But truthfully, after Rav Sheshes did ask this kasha from Maser Sheni, so Rav Yosef, who came afterwards to answer the kasha, Shaper Kamashanu Lei, that was a proper answer. Okay, so up until now, we worked it out. All the steps have now been scrutinized and analyzed and critiqued. And this is the punchline. El Ravina. But what about the most recent kasha, Ravina's kasha, from the breads and the baker? Adam Yosef Menachtim, instead of asking from the Mishnah about the baker and, how can we allow all these breads to be considered to be the same status? That was a kasha. True. But instead of going there, L'sayeli mipalter, he could have actually supported from a different Mishnah, discussing a palter, that's like a wholesale baker, who sources his material from different places. And actually, that's going to support our contention that we are concerned, very concerned when it comes to achila-related concerns of demai desnan. Halakech mana palter. If one purchases baked materials from a palter, from a wholesaler, ma'aser min kol tfus utfus. Divrei Meir. Here's Rav Meir speaking and telling us that treat each type of bread differently. Each form, each brand differently. You know why? Because the palter sources it from different places. So this type may be from the Amoritz, this type not, so therefore you have to treat them separately. So how do you explain this Mishnah, in contrast to the other halacha by the baker, where it's all considered one big happy bread basket? Elamais lach lemeimer is a very, very big reason, a big distinction between two types of situations. Palter, a wholesaler, mitrei tlosa gavri zoveni. Yeah, he purchased from two, three different types of different sources. He has lots of suppliers. So you have to treat each type separately. Each type on its own. As opposed to a nachtim, nami michad gavri hu zoveni. Typically, a baker has one source for his material. So it's all treated as one. Okay, so that's the answer to the kasha. So bottom line, we had a Mishnah that one eats trumas masrash of d'mai, pays a chaimish. Why? It's just d'mai. Well, chachamim osu chizuk l'divreim kishal Torah. And although we find that when it comes to pidyon, we're mekel, but that's only pidyon. When it comes to achila, we're machmer. What about the baker? Well, we treat it all as one because it's coming from the same source. Rava says, look, let's go back a minute. We had this kasha on the Mishnah. Why are we so strict by Trumas Maser Shal Demai to require a chaimish? Well, says Shmuel, We find likewise by get, Rav Meir is machmer. So Abai had a kasha on that. What do you mean? Get is misas bezdin, which is more strict than truma, which is misa b'dei shemayim. Rabbi Amar, no, Rabbi says it's perfectly fine. It's a perfect match. It's a perfect response. Shmuel shapaka mashanet lei. Shmuel's response was a perfect response. Shem yisavoylam. The fact is, the consequence by non-adherence to the get procedure is misas bezdin. Fact is, the consequence to non-adherence to the halachas of achila of trumas maser, if Israel eats trumas maser, it also carries with it a misa consequence. True, one is b'dei shemayim, one is b'dei adam, but they're close enough. Shem misa ba'olam. Ultimately, it's all a matter of misa of death. It's a very similar circumstance, and therefore we rightfully compare the two, and we draw an analysis from one to the other. Continues the Mishnah. So we speak so much about aynah, taking care not to cheat, not to overcharge, not to underpay, right? But there are some exceptions to the rule. Elu dvorim she'ein lahem aynah. In the following cases, the halachas of aynah don't apply. And it's based on psukim, right? So even though there was an overcharge or whatever, the halachas do not apply. What are these items? Ha'avadim, you purchase a slave. Ashtoris, you sell a loan document. Va'karkois, real estate. Va'kdeshois, the treasurer of the Hegdish sells off some assets. There's no aynah. Ein lan tashlame kefa. Likewise, if a fellow steals these items, he doesn't pay double. If it's an animal and he shechted or he sold it, there's no 4 or 5 times, which is typical payment for a ganav stealing from an ordinary person. And all these, avadim, ashtar, etc., are exempted from other halachas as well. Shem rechinam ein nishba. Fellow was entrusted to wash these things free of charge. He doesn't have to make a shvua that he was careful. But in sasach ein mishalim, if a fellow took upon himself to wash these things for a fee and get stolen, he doesn't have to pay. So basically, all these things are exempted from the halachas of shemrim. Rav Shimon Omer, well, when it comes to a carbon, it really depends. Let's say a person committed himself to bringing a carbon. He says, "Arei alai, I'm committing to bring an oila." So he's chay b'achrayis. It identifies with him as a person. So there, if the carbon, let's say, the animal got a blemish and it was sold, yesh l'naino, the halacha does not apply because, as Rashi says, since he's responsible for the well-being of this animal, it relates to him, and it's included in the pasuk "Al toinu ish es achiv." Don't cheat your brother, because basically it's your item being sold to your brother. But if it's a carbon for which he carries no personal responsibility, Rashi says, for instance, going to Omar Harizu, he turns to an animal, says, "This is going to be an oila." So if it gets lost or stolen, I'm not responsible. So it doesn't really identify with him. It's just plainly a carbon, and therefore, if it's sold, ein lan aynah, there's no aynah applied to it. Rabbi the Omer, we have more exceptions as well. Af hamoicha sefet Torah, behema or margolis. Likewise, if a fellow sells a sefet Torah, an animal, or a diamond, these are specialty items, and sometimes a person will overcharge for them, and a person is willing to pay an inflated price if he really needs these items. Ein lan aynah. So aynah does not apply. Amrulay, they told him, no, loy amru ala es elu, we disagree. Aynah applies to everything except for the items mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah. Manan Amili, how do we know that in fact the halachas of aynah do not apply to the four items mentioned at the outset of the Mishnah? Avadim, shtoreis, karkois, and hekdeshes. Tan rabban, chesimkru mimkal amittecha, oikonim yad amittecha. So when you sell or you buy, be careful not to defraud your company. Davar niknum yad liyad. It says, "Konim yada misach." You purchase it by handing it over, an item, something which can be transferred from hand to hand, as opposed to yotzu karkois, real estate, which cannot be transferred by hand. She'ena metatlin, yotzu avadim, as opposed to slaves as well. Shehukshul karkois, because halachically they're connected to karka. Rashi says, based on a pasuk, "V'snachaltem oisam," you meant to inherit your slaves, and the pasuk relates it to your estate. And has a din of real estate. What else is exempted from aynah? Yotzer shtoreis, right? If a person sells a loan document, tchsiv v'chesim kru mimkar, you sell an item, merchandise. So we learn from here, misha gufoy machor, v'gufei kanoi. It applies strictly to something which you sell for the value of the item itself, and you buy the item itself. Yatzur shtar, as opposed to documents, you're not looking for the piece of paper. Shein gufan macher, v'ein gufan kanoi. You're not buying or selling the paper per se. V'einon oindina l'raisha b'hem. The purpose is to provide proof, documentation for the content of that paper. So halacha says, "I know, do not apply." It's not inherent sale. It's sort of selling this to gain control of something else, right? We can't. But so based on this formula, we learn hamoicher shtaroisav labasam. If a person sells a shtar chayv to a perfume maker, so he's going to use the parchment as wrapping, as a sort of a plug for his perfume bottles. So here he's actually buying it for the sake of the material. So now the shtar is treated like any other document, like any other object, like any other item, and therefore a no does apply if he was overcharged. Here's lema no pshita. Well, obviously, if it's being sold as an item, then yeah, lafukim darav kahana. The chiddush is, as opposed to Rav Kahana, darav kahana, ain no the prutes, kamash mon yesh another prutes. We learned this the other day, the contra Rav Kahana. When one overcharges a pruta or two, right, even if it's a sixth of the total amount, let's say it was meant to be sold for six and sold for seven, but if the aino pertains to copper coins, that's insignificant, that's negligible, and there's no din aino unless you get to the point of silver coins. So the point here is no, even when it comes to these parchments, which are virtually worthless, and it's just a matter of a couple of pennies, one way or the other, yesh aino l'pruto, even if the aino pertains to copper coins, aino does apply. And finally, we have ekdeshos. These are exempted from aino as well. Amakro, the pasuk says, right, al toinu ishas achiv, only if it pertains to ordinary common people as opposed to hekdesh. Achiv, achiv ale hekdesh. Maskev le rabba bar mamal. So this whole thing was based on, right, the drasha was based on kanoi mi yada mi techa, something which is being handed from hand to hand as opposed to real estate, etc. You mean to say that when the Torah uses this type of terminology, kanoi mi yad, it means literally taken from one hand to the other? Maskev le rabba bar mamal. When it says yada in the Torah, yada mamashu means literally his hand, as opposed to his possession or his domain or his estate. It means literally sitting in his hand. What about a pasuk which says like this? He grabbed the territory from Maya, Vayikach, it's called Artsem Yada. He took it from his hand. I mean, you think he had it sitting in his hands? You mean his land was sitting in his hands? Yada have a naked law? Rather, Yada. In that context can mean from his control. It was wrested from his control. So perhaps here as well, economy yad amitecha means you purchase it from your friend's ownership. And that could apply to real estate too. Right? V'chalecha d'ksiv says the Gemara, well, let's go the other way. You mean to say v'chalecha d'ksiv yodei lav yodei mamashu, when it says yodei in the Torah, it does not mean literally his hand, really? Is that what you're suggesting? V'chtanya v'vabrais, listen to this. Person steals an item. Himotzi timotzi b'yodei. The item was discovered in his hands. So he stole it with his hands. He has to pay back. Kefil, right? Ein le'al yodei. So perhaps it only applies if he physically stole it with his hands. What about if he stole it through his property? Gaga, his rooftop, chatzero, his yard, karfifa, his storage area. Meaning, let's say he notices his friend's animal roaming into his backyard and he quickly shuts the door. So it was the chatzer that actually trapped the animal. He stole by way of his property. What happens there? Does he pay double? Minayin? Tamalema? Yeah. Imi matze timatze. That repetitious lashon tells you mikol makim. Even this triggers kefil. Well, so what do we see? Time with the kasav rachmani matze timatze. That's only because we have this repetition. Holav hachi. Otherwise, have I mean I would say kol echad the kasav yadi yadi mamish. And since the Torah says imi matze timatze be yada, it means literally in his hands. He stole by way of his hands. So we see yad means literally his hands. Vesu, we have another riot to this. Tani, we have a brisa regarding get. Right? We deliver the get to the isha. What words does the Torah use to describe that delivery? V'nasam b'yadi, placed it in her hands. And the Gemara, same discussion. Ein li ela yada, perhaps it only works if it was placed directly into her hands. What about her property? What about her rishus? Gaga, chatzira, v'kafrika, menayit, amaleimar, v'nasan, mikol malkim, any place that is placed works. Tama de kosov, right? Rashi says, because it, rather than saying, ubiyada yitzenenu, right? It was in her hands, it was placed as v'nasan biyada. V'nasan is coming to include all types of deliveries. So bottom line is, time of the cause of Rachmana v'nasan, that's only because the Torah reworded it like that. Hola v'achi, otherwise, ha'vimina, I would say, kolecha the cause of yada, yada mamash. And when it says v'nasan biyada, it means literally our hands. So on the one hand, we attempted to highlight a place in the Torah where yada means domain, and here we see yada means mamash. Elo, rather, kol yada, yada mamash. True. The default assumption is the simple meaning of yada means your hands, as we find by ganav, we find by get, where we need that special drasha to expand it to, you know, to rishus as well. Veshani hasan. And likewise by aino, kanav yada mitecha means your friend's hands. When you purchase an item that can be transferred from hand to hand, as opposed to karka. But there's one remaining location. That pasuk by Moyav, right? Vishani Hasam, there it's different. There, we're compelled to learn that Yoday, right? Vayikach is called Artsam Yoday, doesn't mean literally his hand, it's impossible, but it means from his Rishus. But that's an exception to the rule. That's one off. But the simple, basic meaning of Yoday means literally his hands. Boy Rabbi Zeir. Okay, so Karka is exempted from Aynoa. What about Tzchirus? A rental. Yesh lo Aynoa? Oyein lo Aynoa? Does I know apply there or not? Let's say he was overcharged on his rental. Shall we say, Memkar Amar Achman Avalei Schirus? Sorry, not talking about, let's backtrack. not real estate. He rents a car, he rents a behema. Schirus, Yesh Lo Yoyno, Oyin Lo Yoyno. Does I know apply to rentals as well? Shall we say, on the one hand, the Torah speaks about a sale, having a no, so perhaps only a sale, not schirus. You can say lishna, doesn't matter. If you overpay, you overpay. Amalei Abaye, of course, I know applies to rentals as well. Miksiv memkar loylam. True. The pasuk mentions a memkar, but who says it means a permanent sale? Memkar stamaksiv, it just says memkar. Vahinami, biyaymei. And guess what? A rental, biyaymei, mechirhi. For the actual rental day, it's called a sale. It was sold for that day. Actually, Tesis brings a different Gemara where we don't seem to sort of equate rentals to sales completely, but Tesis says over here we have an extra pasuk. It says, Gabaynoksiv memkar miyuter. So it's coming to teach us that even we'll even include a rental as well, because there's an element, there's an aspect of a sale there too. You sort of bought the rights to use it for the rental period, so therefore it's included in the halacha of ayna. Boy, Rabbi, comes a new shaila. Chitin v'zorin b'karka mahu. We have kernels of wheat which were embedded in the ground; they were planted. How do we treat them? Like karka without oino, or is it still considered an item which can have oino? Yesh lahem oino, or ein lahem oino. Shall we say, command the shadyan b'kada domi, although it's sitting in the ground, it's as though it's sitting in a container. Command the shadyan, it's like it was placed b'kada in a pitcher, in a container, damyan, we treat it like that. Yesh lahem oino, and therefore oino applies. Oidumo or, but lino al gab ara. No, it becomes nullified, it becomes part of the ground. Now, Eichidami, what exactly happened? Where was the cheat? Are we speaking where a farmer asked the supplier to insert 6, you know, pounds of kernels into the ground? And the Eidim came and testified they'd only put 5 pounds in there. So the question is whether he can claim Oino. Well, of course he could. V'amar Rav, Rav says, there's no issue in this case, of course. Kol davar sheba mida. V'sheba mishkal. V'sheba minyan. whenever it pertains to an exact amount that was measured, that was counted, that was weighed, right? I asked you to put in 6 pounds. I mean, it was a pretty specific request, right? So there are afilu pachos. You should know that you could even cancel the deal even if he was cheated by just a drop. Rashi says it's called a mekach tos. I asked you for one thing, you gave me something else. Aina that we speak of is pertaining to something which is sort of given to interpretation, to valuation, to right? Right, something subjective. But here, it's a clear-cut deviation. I asked for one thing, you gave me something else. Right? So Rashi points out, this would affect even karka. True. Ayna doesn't apply to karka. That's regular ayna. But mekach tos, a mistaken deal. I asked you for one thing, you gave me something else. Deal's over, whether it's karka or no karka. And even if it's a small amount, I can just cancel. Ella rather was speaking like this. He didn't give him an exact amount. He says, look, do me a favor. Throw in whatever the karka needs. You know how much it needs. Turns out he didn't. He skimped. He cut corners. He planted less than he should have. In this case, there was no exact amount spoken of. So at most, you can apply, if it wasn't done properly, he wasn't honest, he didn't supply the goods properly, the way it's expected, the way it's accepted. So at most he has Aino claims. But Aino does not apply to Karka. Are these seeds considered Karka or not? Yesh lemaino, Aino maino. Shall we say, Commander Shadi Bikadi Don? Seeds are like sitting in a container. Despite them being in the ground, we treat them as separate entities. Yesh lemaino, Aino could apply because you cut corners on the seeds. Aiduma Matluna Gavar? Or shall we say, no, it's part of the ground. So now your claim is a karka claim, which has no ayno. So this question applies to other things as well. We discussed ayno, and applies to other halachas, from which karka is exempted, right? For instance, the halachas are shvuah. You can't make a shvuah on karka, right? Let's say a person's moideh b'miktzas. He partially admits to a claim waged against him, and it pertains to karka. There's no shvuah when it's a karka-related claim. Are kernels in the ground? This is a karka. Nishboin alein. Oye nishboin alein. Kiman deshadim mekadu damin. Nishboin alein. Shall we say it's like sitting in a container and you can make a shvua? Oye dum v'tlana gavar. Vein nishboin alein. Oh, it's a part of the ground. There's no shvua. Next question. Oye me matiron. Oye eina me matiron. Right? The Menchas Oye brought on the 16th of Nisan. Right? So that's going to allow us to partake in the new grains, the new crops, the new season, right? So the Omer is only matter, only affects grain which had already been around at that time, right? So now this wheat sitting in the ground, Omer matiron, and it passes through the Omer, right? Is the Omer going to permit it or not? Omer matiron. Hey, Chadami, what exactly happened? What stage is the planting, what stage are these kernels holding? Either ashrush, did they take root before the Omer was brought? Tanina, we have a mission about that. Either lay ashrush, tanina, if they did not take root, we also have a mission about that. Tanina, it's not like this. If the seeds had taken root before the Omer was brought, meaning that during the akrova of the Omer, these were already rooted in the ground, they're considered part of last year's crop to the extent that Omer matiron, when eventually they grow up and they ripen, you can actually eat them. They're part of last year's crop, which had been checked off by this Omer. They were already exempted. Vimla, but they haven't yet taken root. By the time the Omer was brought, they relate to next year's season. Asurin, they cannot be eaten until next year's Omer. So regarding your question of the sweet in the ground, well, it's pretty simple. Rooted, okay. No rooted, not okay. Leitzricha, must be speaking like this. Techatzdinu, he took last year's crop, which was going to be mutter through this Omer. Okay, so he took wheat from before Pesach, which was pending permissibility through the Omer brought on Pesach. he harvested it, v'zarinu, and he replanted it right away. Koydim lo imer, for the imer, v'osro li imer, v'cholaf alay, now it passed through the imer, in the ground. Lo yashrut koydim lo imer. But it had not yet taken root before the imer was brought. So his question is, ma'ol minkah to mechel minayu? There's no question, whatever is going to grow subsequently is going to be related to next year. He's going to have to wait till next Pesach. He doesn't want to wait till next Pesach. He wants to pull it out of the ground, eat it right now. Can he or not? Were they covered? Was this wheat in the ground covered by the Omer or not? Oh, so that's the question. On the one hand, are they intact? Are they here? Like sitting in a container? And can be covered and addressed and permitted by the Omer. Go ahead and have it, eat it. Or no, but once they were planted, they become part of the ground. And they can't relate to the Omer anymore. They're in the ground, they're planted. You have to wait until it regrows, and next year you'll address it through the next year's Omer. So that's a good question. Take it, we leave it unsettled. Okay, so a brief recap. We had the discussion regarding Demai. On the one hand, when it comes to halachas of achila, we're strict about it. This is according to our mayor, and when it comes to other halachas, we're lenient. We have the Mishnah regarding certain items that are exempted from Mayinah and Shavua, and all kinds of other halachas. What are they? They're avodim, shtores, karkois, and hakdeshes. We have psukim for all of them. And we discussed that Schirus also has Mayinah. And finally, regarding the chitim in the ground, and we leave it as a teiko. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.